Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to episode number 80 of Soccer Over Gotham. This is a Challenge Cup and World Cup edition. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We got a lot. Episode 80 is a crazy number. On this episode, Gotham is the league's best road team, period. After a slow start, Gotham finds their way and gets a big Challenge Cup win to keep pace with the group leader, the Courage. I dub this game the Night of 1,000 Megs. Krieger played her last game in Exploria Stadium. Also, Jenna Neiswanger is Rookie of the Year, period. Our guest this week is the voice of Gotham FC for MSG Networks, Renee Washington. Can't wait to get her thoughts on the national team as we discuss the 3-0 win over Vietnam. There is just so much to talk about, Ruby. Let's just get to it. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good and happy to be back. So NWSL was on a break, and we also took a small break. It was great to have a little break. Now the Women's World Cup finally kicked off, and it has not disappointed anyone. It has not disappointed me. It's been great. Loved all the games. We have a lot of surprises in there, and I think I've watched most of these games on replay. However, on the East Coast, I mean, like, whoever is waking up at 1 o'clock, 3 a.m., just kudos to you.
Speaking of last episode's manifestation, I got 7 hours and 45 minutes of sleep yesterday. So that's pretty darn good. Otherwise, it was bad. It was bad there.
Winning.
Yeah. All right. But as I mentioned on the World Cup thing, shout out to Peacock and Telemundo. Great job covering the World Cup so far. And no Fox commentators, which is really nice. Let's get over to some Cloud9 news. So first, follow Cloud9 Goth on Twitter for all the information on pregame tailgates and watch parties for the away games. They also arrange away days, such as this one in Washington, D.C. Friday. Check them out if you want to go. They're the ones that are going to plug you in. They're an amazing group of people. They're super friendly and super welcoming. Check them out.
Yeah, I think every time they play Washington, they go over there, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Also, check them out on Twitter for the U.S. Women's National Team watch parties. I know they post that info on their Twitter as well.
Indeed. Ruby, recording on a Monday night? World Cup and random weekday Challenge Cup matches are going to make this a fun month.
Exactly.
Stick with us, people.
For real. I mean, anything is possible. I mean, Gotham had the most game delays this season. Anything is possible. It's going to be fun covering Gotham and the U.S. Women's National Team.
Well, let's get to this game breakdown. The Challenge Cup standings are going into this game. North Carolina is up, but they have played 4 games. They have 8 points from those 4 games. Second place is Gotham with 4 points from 2 games. Washington Spirit are in third with 3 points from 4 games. And Orlando Pride are in fourth place with 1 point from 2 games. Now, Gotham enters this match in second place in the group standings, as we just said. They are 4 points from first with 2 games in hand. So this is the one that got postponed for the travel delays. The one from folks from smoke delays comes in August. Gotham has scored 5 goals in their last 5 matches, and newcomer Katie Stengel has brought a new dynamic to the squad, scoring in her debut. Orlando, they're a mixed bag. They look like a bottom table team in back-to-back losses to KC in North Carolina. Then they look like a top six team with back-to-back wins against OL and the Spirit. Will the real Orlando Pride please stand up? Messiah Bright is an intriguing rookie, and she seems to be finding her form and leading most of the rookies in scoring. On to the injury report. We got some good news finally. Kristen Edmonds is off the injury report, and Sabrina Flores is off the injury report. We are missing Ife Anamano for Nigeria, Sinead Fairley for Ireland, Bernina for Brazil, Lynn Christie, and Kelly O'Hara for our U.S. Women's National Team. And Orlando is missing a couple, including national teamers Marta and Adriana. So it's a big loss for them. Getting on to the formation across the front, we got a 4-3-3, and Ryan Stengel and Purse We have Martin, Zerboni, and Sheehan across the middle. Nyswanger, Krieger, Jean, and Freeman, the same back line as last week in the back. And then Mandy Haught returns to the goal. Very good. Any thoughts on this lineup, Ruby?
I mean, so happy to see Haught back in there getting some minutes. And the starting lineup for this game looks strong and promising, even with Nationals being away for the World Cup. Stengel with another start, and love the Krieger-Jean partnership.
Yeah, getting better every week. They complement each other very well. Welcome back, Mandy McGlynn. Good to see her in the goal. It's also good to see Otto and Hinson in the 18. I was curious to see who would get their first minutes. And obviously, as a big Edmonds fan, good to see her back in the 18.
I know. Not going to lie. I'm happy Edmonds is back. We need her.
We do.
I just wanted to mention that in this game, they played in Orlando, and we know Florida and Orlando are known for their weather. So we see here it was 86 degrees in Orlando, but it felt like 93. So they were playing in 93 degree weather, and the humidity was at 73%. So just imagine playing in that weather.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a picture of Krieger at the end of the game where it's like from the backside, and she put it on Facebook, where she's like chasing down 20-year-olds in this heat, like,
yeah, she got her all drenched in sweat.
Yeah, we'll get to her. She had a fantastic game, but let's get to this game breakdown. Gotham comes out. Let's just say it. They were asleep at the wheel. Jean gives away a frustration foul on Watts, just getting by her with her speed, causing a short corner. Then no one marks the center back coming across the defensive line. Near post run, free header. It's 1-0 Orlando within like 10 minutes. Possibly the turning point of the match, and we'll talk about this later, is Krieger running down Watts from 40 yards out in the 12th minute. It takes a while for Gotham to find their form. Orlando had a rookie against Midge Purse, which was a big mistake. Midge gets slide tackled from behind in the box, and Midge initially stands over the spot, but she hands it off to the rookie. Jenna gets Morehouse to bite to the right. Cooley goes left. Gotham continues grows into this game. It is tied 1-1 and goes into the half tied. Your thoughts on this first half, Ruby?
It didn't look too good for Gotham in the first 20 minutes. And I didn't want to be a negative Nancy here, but I didn't have much faith in Gotham that they were going to win. But I know this team, and I know this team never gives up. And Gotham managed to regroup and find their footing after a slow start. I mean, the equalizer came before halftime, which was crucial, and it set the stage for the second half. By the way, amazing PK by Nyswanger. She looked like she's been doing this forever.
She certainly does. Going back to Gotham being asleep at the wheel, it was definitely evident in the beginning. Going on to Orlando, though, Orlando showed signs of a very young team. It seems when things are going their way, everything is going their way. And much like Gotham last season, if one thing goes wrong, you can see it on their faces. You can see it in their posture. It just seems the frustration sets in pretty quickly and play gets a little bit wonky. And once Gotham started getting on the ball, when that PK hit, they started taking over.
Yeah. And during the first half, Coach Almaroz was asking the players to stay composed and improve their connections on the pitch. He was kind of like, calm down. We got this. And at the halftime interview, Nyswanger mentioned how, again, she looks like she's been doing this forever, like that PK. And she mentioned how she had been practicing her PKs, and what a great PK.
Yeah, the change of pace on her run-up and just getting the keeper to bite one way, that is a veteran PK. Fantastic. Her confidence is unreal. Let's get over to some player notes. Any player notes, Ruby?
Stengel, our lone player for the next few months, came close to scoring in the 6th minute. I mean, just her presence on the field adds options to the attack, and her loan ends on September 3rd, and Challenge Cup and the final will be September 9th. So if Gotham makes it to the final, she's going to miss it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is sad. But we should have our national teamers back for that game. So that would be good. My player note is simply Midge is an absolute menace. The announcer said Midge was on a mission, which was a title of our 7th episode. It's true, though. Injury or not, Midge is going to make somebody regret not putting her on that plane to New Zealand. I'm over here with my popcorn just loving it.
It was definitely a show. I mean, Midge's performance is just pure entertainment out there. She has so much swag. I really enjoy watching her, the nutmeg, just everything. I love Midge.
Yeah, poor rookie. They threw her to the wolves with Midge. Midge had her spinning.
They really did.
Yeah. Going back to that change of game early on, and I got to point out that Krieger still got some wheels. Yep. She's much smarter about how she utilizes her resources at her age, but when she has to, that was like the 11th or 12th minute. She goes 35 yards stride for Ali Watt, who's got pace to burn. That was, I do think that was the turning point of the match. I think if Gotham goes down 2-0 at that point in the 11th minute, it's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
Let's get to the second half. Honestly, let's just talk about the goals because that's all I want to talk about right now. First, let's talk about that banger from Zerboni.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That was a golazo, a true banger. I mean, I had that goal on replay like for so many times. I don't even know how many times. By the way, I posted that goal on our Instagram. So if you guys want to go watch it, it's on the reels. Go watch that goal again. That was an assist again from Nice Wonger, this rookie that doesn't even play like a rookie. She looks like a veteran. So Nice Wonger sees that Zerboni is open and Zerboni just takes the shot. And that's what she said at the end of the game at the interview. She said that she saw she was open. She knows that she's able to do that kind of like those shots. So she just took it and look at her. She scored.
Yeah, that pass from Nice Wonger to her was to the right foot with the right pace. That set her up perfectly for that goal. That little thing that Nice Wonger does is well beyond her years. She's so good. Zerboni, though, despite all her accomplishments and accolades, she always has something to prove. I think that post-goal celebration, I think, speaks volumes of who Zerboni is as a person and a competitor. She wants to be on that field. She knows she can be on that field. She's a warrior. That shot was one of confidence. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that speaks to the environment Amoros is creating. A lot of players on this club are playing at a high confidence level, even if the players are not getting consistent minutes. So much quality depth and competition for minutes. You also saw in her face when she was subbed out, she looked frustrated by that.
Yeah.
McCall is a competitor.
Yeah, I did see her face. She was like, what's going on? Why are you taking me out? But yeah amazing.
Yes.
She played amazing.
Yes. And then we got Ryan's goal 2 minutes later was another banger.
My God, you can see how dedicated Zerboni is. I just want to add to what you were saying about Zerboni, how dedicated Zerboni is to this team and her drive to make a positive impact whenever she's on the pitch. And just having players with such a strong competitive spirit, it's important to the team's success. I mean, she has 200 plus caps now, and that doesn't come easy, but she sure makes it look easy. Now on to the Ryan game. 2 minutes after, they were on a roll. And did you see that pass and that back and forth between Zerboni and Ryan? It was incredible. That's another play that I've been watching on replay. Probably going to post it on Instagram as well so you guys can see it again. And this is her first goal, and I'm just so happy for Ryan.
Yeah, you're correct. That was a fantastic passing combination between Zerboni and Ryan to free her up. And Ryan, you saw it in her reaction as well. It was such a relief for her. Possibly not a more deserving person on this squad than her. She has been playing so well. She's been putting in the work. Game after game, she's been so close. So happy for her. Hopefully that opens the floodgates. And yeah, fantastic. Anything else to say about Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan, like you said, she consistently just gives her all every game. She works incredibly hard, though she hasn't been able to find the back of the net until this game against Orlando. You saw, like, after she scored, she just put, like, her arms into the air, kind of like you said, like, finally. And I believe this will mark the beginning of many more goals for Ryan in the future.
Agreed. Onto Mandy Haught. I've been saying this a lot about her, but she's in the same mold as Sheridan and Heritage, and she's really fun to watch. Her distribution is just very good and full field. She has the calmness on the ball and the pressure, mm-hmm. and she can pass out of trouble. She hits quick switches and also nearly hit nice swunger and in stride over the top of Orlando's defense. She's got a really, really bright future.
Oh, yeah, she does. She really does. I mean, her potential is just undeniable. I'm glad Abby gets to get some rest and Haught gets some minutes here. I'm excited to see how she continues to develop and contribute to the team.
Yeah. Also, you know, welcome to Gotham, Sierra Hinson. She flashed some good movement and combination play. There were two moments where I felt she was a bit unselfish. I mean, Gotham was up two. Just have it, Sierra.
Hey, it was her first game, so she was probably like, let me just give it up a little bit. But hey, maybe next game she'll be a little more selfish and just go for it.
Yeah. All right. Two big wins in a row, Ruby, with the goal of keeping pace with the top of the table of both the group and the table. Gotham is in a really good spot right now. The Shield and the top of the group are in play. Got to feel pretty good about this.
Wow. I mean, we've been saying that this is a team that could take it all. And each game that goes by, they prove that it's possible for them to just win it all. I mean, Gotham's recent performances have been good performances. And it's no surprise that they're feeling really, really confident. And let's hope that they can maintain that momentum until the next game and the next game and the next game.
Yeah. Shout out to Amoros. There's a lot of things you have to balance in a season, especially now when you have the World Cup, you have Challenge Cups, you have Shield competitions, everything. And so far, Gotham is in the hunt for everything. So far, he's done an amazing job of balancing all of that, keeping players healthy, keeping players rotated. Mm-hmm. If things stay the way they are, I think he's a shoe-in for Coach of the Year, but we'll see what happens. On to players missing for the World Cup. I mean, it's good for us, but what a shame Midge is not playing at the World Cup. She's just special. Williams, with Midge taking the pressure off her, is going to be scary when she returns.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, with the injury that, you know, Midge had, it came in at a bad time for her. But things happen for a reason. And she's still young. She's very talented. And there's hope we'll see her shine in the next World Cup.
Yeah, that would be a shame. That would be a shame if she didn't play the World Cup. She's just too talented. Let's get to some post-game quotes. This was a fun one. This was a question from Nubia. Shout out to Nubia. About Ryan's goal celebration. So when we interviewed Ryan early in the season, she said that she was just starting to learn chess. So her goal celebration was of her moving chess pieces around in her hand. She said that she and the coach Jesus play chess together. That's what we do here. We bring you the wholesome content here at Soccer Over Gotham.
Yes, and I did see it. Now that I remember, I did see the celebration, but it didn't click then. Like, why was she doing that with her hands? Amazing story. I had to go watch it again either way, even though I remember afterwards. And that back and forth with Zerboni, just brilliant play. And then Ryan scores, her arms into the air, that moment of triumph and just relief, like you said, just relief for her. And I'm so happy for her. She deserves it. I mean, she scored once, but it was taken away. I think it was an offsides, or I don't remember what it was.
Yeah,
I think it was an offside. So they took that goal from her. So finally, she gets her goal.
All right. Ruby, you got to start doing these post-game graphics conferences because I'm just no good at these things. I am incapable of asking like short questions. So every question that I ask is presented as to open up a bigger conversation. So if I ask Amoros a question, he goes off for like 3 minutes and I'm like, he gives me so much information. I'm like, this is good information, but I can imagine for everybody else, it's like trying to like transcribe that's probably craziness. So I had this list of questions that I had for him. And at the end, I got one that was a short question, short answer question. I asked him, I said, is Jenna Neiswanger the rookie of the year? His answer was, I mean, yeah, of course. At the moment, she's played more games. She's got more goals. She plays defensively. She creates goals. She's adapted to a new position. Yes. And I agree.
And I bet this is the summarized version of his 3-minute answer.
Probably.
But yeah, I mean, Jenna Neiswanger has been exceptional this season. She is definitely a strong contender for Rookie of the Year. I mean, with her impressive performances with Gotham, I see why not. Like, she definitely is Rookie of the Year. At least for us, she is.
Yeah, incredible. Any stats of the game, Ruby?
So this game, Gotham had 14 shots and 6 of those shots on goal.
And 3 of those shots went in. Yay. All right. So this is my stat is first. It's a night of firsts. McCall's first Challenge Cup goal. It was Jenna's first goal and assist match. It was Ryan's first goal and Monashim's first Challenge Cup appearance.
A lot of firsts.
Let's get to our player of the game over on Twitter at OverGothamPod. Fans chose Krieger. Thanks to the fans who voted. Do you agree, Ruby?
In short, I'm not going to give a 3-minute answer. I'm just going to say yes.
Yes. I got a 3-way tie, and this is another first. Jenna, Allie, and Midge. I don't follow anybody's rules, not even my own. All right. Let's get over to the standings now, the updated standings. The NWSL Challenge Cup Group A, North Carolina, is still in the lead with 8 points. However, Gotham is now second place with 7 points, 1 point from first, and a game in hand. Washington is in third with 3 points from 4 games, and Orlando Pride at the bottom with 1 point from 3 games. Right now, this is exactly where we want to be. 3 games, 2 wins and a draw, 1 point behind with a game in hand. If Gotham takes care of business against Washington, that means the following game against the Courage is most likely for first place. This group could be one of the ones that sends 2 teams through. We'll get to that next week, but the Courage are pretty scary right now.
Yeah, they definitely are scary right now. I mean, they just have gotten better and better throughout the season. And 6 goals against Washington, and it just in the second half, if you count 45 minutes, it was kind of like they were scoring like every 7 minutes. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and Brianna Pinto scored a banger.
Oh, hashtag I saw that.
#WantsGotham. Yeah, on to our next opponent, Friday the 28th, 7 p.m., away at the Washington Spirit. The Challenge Cup continues. Spirits are running pretty high right now, pun intended. Entering the match after 2 big wins, Gotham is still the league's best road team. On to Washington, they are hurting without their national teamers. They're winning 1 of their last 5, 1 draw and 3 losses in their last 4. Last time out, they went to halftime 0-0, as you just mentioned, and then ended up getting run off the pitch, a 6-0 drubbing to the Courage. Again, as you said, all goals scored in the second half, which was an NWSL record. Your thoughts on this match, Ruby?
Going into this match, I mean, Washington Spirit, I feel like they're having a tough time right now. And they had a tough time in their last game with North Carolina Courage, losing 6-0. I mean, that was quite surprising to me. Again, everyone's has national team members that are on the World Cup right now, but to lose that many goals, it's just crazy. And like you said, this is a record for the NWSL. Now, on the other hand, Gotham FC is showing steady progress, just game by game, and staying consistent, even with having 6 players away for the World Cup.
Agreed. Just like Portland. You don't get many chances to play Washington without Rodman, Sanchez, Sullivan, and Kingsbury. Gotham is obviously the deeper of the 2 teams and is in way better form. We have to keep pace with the Courage at the top of the table. A win would be big here. Also, Gotham has, as we talked about, the deepest bench in the league. I think Gotham is going to keep the pressure on you with that bench. That 6 goals given up in the second half gets me pretty excited.
I know. I mean, it will be exciting. Imagine if Gotham can just like score 6 goals on them too. That would be awesome.
Would be. What are you manifesting this week?
Another win in the Challenge Cup.
Yes. I want a shutout. So that's what I'm manifesting this week. Let's blank Washington here. So any closing thoughts before we go?
Well, yeah, don't judge me, but I'm going to go watch the Barbie movie.
Nah, I hear it's good.
I heard it's good too. I'm like, well, now I want to go watch it. Kind of has like a nice message to the movie. So I'm like, all right, maybe I should go watch it.
Yeah, maybe I should take my little, we'll say. But yeah, that's all I got. Let's get to the World Cup. I'm super excited to cover this, to change a little direction for the podcast. We're going to talk to our friend, Renee Washington of MSG Networks. Let's just get to it, shall we, Ruby?
Let's go. Welcome to the U.S. Women's National Team Breakdown Show. I'm your host, Ruby Pinto, social media creative and host of the Soccer Over Gotham podcast. I'll be covering the U.S. Women's National Team games with special guests. In this episode, we'll give our thoughts and takeaways on the U.S. Women's National Team's 3-0 win against Vietnam. We'll see who the fans thought was the player of the match and answer your questions. I am joined by the producer, editor, and my co-host of Soccer Over Gotham, Gary Gibson. Our guest tonight is none other than the voice of Gotham FC for MSG Networks. Welcome to the show, Renee Washington.
Thank you, Ruby. Thank you, Gary. It's a pleasure being here. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yes. So what have you been up to, Renee?
Like everybody else, watching all the excitement that is happening in sports, specifically the soccer world, and loving every single second of it.
Yes.
Yes. The World Cup season. And for real, like, how is everyone's sleep schedule with this World Cup? Like, I've been watching most of the games on replay because I cannot stay up or wake up at 1 a.m., 3 a.m.
That's what I've been doing. I mean, between the Challenge Cup games, the MLS, the World Cup games, I am like trying to balance all of it. So I've been also watching it on replay and understanding that there's going to be spoilers. I know the results. Like, I woke up right, and I knew the result of Brazil's win, but I still want to see it happen and see how it unfolds. So I've been watching replays, except for the games that are a little bit earlier, like a 9, 10 o'clock, like the U.S. women's game. I was able to watch that live, but I was still struggling, honestly.
Yeah, I just hope everybody is ready, that my entire personality for this next month is all U.S. Women's National Team and Gotham FC. That's all I want to talk about this next month to anybody.
I love it.
For real.
So, yeah.
But let's move to team news. Any national team news that we can talk about, or any thoughts in the tournament so far, Renee?
I've been just enjoying watching, well, we only had one game so far that we've been able to see, mm-hmm. what the mixture of the youth and the veterans and how that was going to look. It's been fun to watch for the U.S. Women's National Team, how they were working back in Rose Lavelle and Megan Rapinoe, who have been injured. It was great to see that players like Alyssa Thompson got some minutes. And then, of course, we all held our breath in the beginning when Trinity Rodman went down. And we're like, no way, not in under a minute. Yep. Is she yep.
Too soon.
It's way too soon. But then, like, players like Sophia Smith and, you know, Girma, and you just watch all the way through. Yeah. And Julie Ertz and her role as a center back. It was nice to see the blend of what Vlatko Nenadovsky has been doing with the team. And I'm interested mm-hmm. to see how it'll continue. What people don't realize is it's a long World Cup tournament, but it's quick at the same time. Like, you have to make adjustments on the fly as players' health or just how their gelling may evolve of who's starting versus coming off the bench. So for the game Wednesday, I'm just happy to see what's next. Is it going to be the same 11 that starts? Is it going to be something different? What's coach going to do?
Yeah. And yeah, you're right about that. It's a month long, but at the same time, it's short. It's not like a regular NWSL season where it's months and months and you can like change it next week or the next week or whatever. Right now you have like days, or even in the same game, you have to make changes. So I do agree with you with that. What about you, Gary?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a balance, and you have to get so many things right to get through a short tournament that's, you know, back-to-back games, essentially. But my whole philosophy on this tournament is, if it's not the U.S., I'm rooting for all the underdogs. Like, I want to see Nigeria get a point. I want to see Ireland get a point off Canada. I love that Jamaica got a point off of France. Amazing. I want to see teams that have never scored a goal before score a goal. I love rooting for all the underdogs, and just because the storylines are so much better to me.
Yeah, definitely.
I do too. I was going to say, I don't like to see 4-5-0 games. I want to see an early goal happen. I want to see, like, I mean, we've seen a ton of PKs, which has been wild, and some great penalty kick saves, which also has made it that much more exciting. But I want to see something different. Surprise us.
Exactly. Yes, all right. So let's move to the game breakdown. So Going into this matchup, USA enters on a 9-game win streak, having bested Wales, Ireland twice, Brazil, and Japan in their last 5. It is interesting to note that the U.S. has not scored more than 2 goals in their past 6 contests. On the other side, Vietnam is one of 8 newcomers to the tournament. To qualify, they had to endure a round-robin playoff with Thailand and Chinese Taipei. Both Chinese Taipei and Vietnam bested Thailand, but Taipei had beaten Thailand to a greater margin, meaning only a win would get Vietnam through. Vietnam went ahead 2-1 with about half hour to go and held on to qualify for their first World Cup. Amazing. Vietnam enters the tournament on the back of a 2-1 loss to Germany and a 7-0 loss to France. Here are some note injuries. The U.S. women's national team, it is at full health heading into its opening match of the World Cup in New Zealand against Vietnam. Rose Lavelle, Megan Rapinoe, and Julie Ertz all will be available for the match.
This is where it gets like really interesting. There's so many thoughts about the lineup. So let's just go through it. Obviously, Alyssa Nair is in goal. Mm-hmm. Emily Fox is out to the right. Julie Ertz is in center back. Naomi Girma is with center back. Crystal Dunn is out to the left. Savannah DeMello, Andy Sullivan, and Lindsay Horan make up that 3 midfield. And then Trinity Rodman, Alex Morgan, and Sophia Smith across the front. Any thoughts on this lineup, Renee?
Honestly, I posted about it, and I know I had some people saying stuff back because they were like, well, how are we going to change the lineup? It's still so early. And it goes back to my comment earlier where you don't have a large room for error. And I think for me, the first thing that has to change is Rose Lavelle, if she's at 100%, needs to be in the starting lineup. You saw the immediate impact she made on the game as soon as she came in. She's an attacking mind. I think that Lindsay Horan has that too, but Lindsay Horan's more of a balanced midfielder where she picks and chooses her spots when she wants to get forward, whereas Rose Lavelle is truly an attacking midi that likes to get into the box, get shots, get crosses, make overlapping runs, and sometimes will be the highest or widest player. So I think the midfield was honestly one of the major areas that I felt like the U.S. was dropping off. And I think that's why I know there were comments on the broadcast about like needing to pass the ball better or needing to have better chemistry. But the midfield creates that chemistry. So they're the ones that can facilitate and set up for whoever the forwards are. If it's Sophia Smith, Alex Morgan, and Trinity Rodman to start, you need a midfield group that's going to help them get into more dangerous areas. And I felt like a lot of balls they were receiving were higher up the field with their back to goal and not really in good positions to combine. But I thought Rose Lavelle immediately made an impact. And then another change there's 2, but one that I think it's iffy. I actually loved Julie Ertz at center back, but I love Julie Ertz in the midfield. And I think that center back is a role, if you have someone steady and consistent in what maybe an Alana Cook can do, I know it's tough. She's young. It's her first World Cup along with Naomi Girma. That's a lot of pressure to put on 2 young center backs. I get that. But I wonder how much it's hurting the midfield. And I think that the midfield was good. Like, I don't have – the hard part is they weren't awful. But also was Vietnam, though. No offense. But I'm thinking bigger opponents. I think you're going to need to have a stronger midfield core that can control the tempo. And I'd love to see Rose Lavelle, Lindsay Horan, and Julie Ertz in the midfield and see what happens. I mean, if you're attacking more, you don't really hold your breath as much about the defensive side. Like, I almost wonder if it's too defensive to have Ertz in the back versus pushing her up. She started, I mean, the first goal that happened and all the goals she was involved with in some way or capacity, but you just see how she's making passes from center back. Now can we get her higher up the field, sitting in as a holding midfielder, but making those same passes 20 yards higher up? So those are the 2 main changes that I think I would love to see happen.
Yeah, and let's not forget that a total of 6 players in the starting lineup are experiencing their first World Cup appearance. DeMello, Girma, Fox, Sullivan, Rodman, Smith. Some look more confident than others, like Rodman and Smith. They did great out there. And I think it's just an exciting moment for them. And we're just eager to see all of them play.
My 100-foot take on this roster was this is a confidence-building roster. honestly, for a lot of teams, you have a starting 11 and you ride that starting 11 from the beginning, first game to the end. But I felt like for a lot of this roster, this was about confidence. If you're looking at like Alyssa Nair in goal, she has not had a good club form. It's not her fault. Right. Chicago has just been pretty poor, but she's had a lot of goals scored on her. So this was just about her getting back in the flow, getting back into confidence again. I think it was for DeMelo, because it's her first World Cup. Get her out there, let her get some minutes against Vietnam, get those jitters out, knock those rust off, and let's get out there. Same thing with Rodman. Get her out there, get her legs under her, let her play. So get what that environment's like, what it feels like. Because the rest of these players that were left off, like Lavelle, they've been there before. Mm-hmm. You can plug them in and they're ready to go right away. But I think a lot of these players, even with Ertz at center back, maybe they need her down the road.
Right.
Maybe they were just building her confidence at center back there. But I think, as you said, Renee, she was probably our best offensive player outside of Sophia Smith. So I would like to see her higher up the field. And I think Cook is experienced enough that I think this should have been her tournament. I think Girma and her are a good partnership. And that is who I would have pushed. But again, we'll get to that later. But again, I feel like this was all about building confidence, and it really wasn't about building cohesion,
because yes,
obviously, as we saw, cohesion was not there.
And I would love to have seen Cook get some minutes against Vietnam. I think that's a great game mm-hmm. to get her out there in the second half and get her some mm-hmm. time alongside Girma, because that chemistry for center backs is very important, and with their keeper. So I do think that that's the one thing that I would have done differently. I don't know which substitution. It was great seeing Alyssa Thompson out there. Maybe she's one you don't put in, instead you put in Alana Cook. I have no idea. I mean, there's only so many substitutions you can make. But I do think that what we saw as the game progressed was, with players like Megan Rapinoe, Roosevelt coming in, exactly as you talked about, Gary, the confidence is already there. The chemistry is already there. So they're combining with Horan, and it's seamless. And so you do need to sprinkle in some of the veterans, I think, a little bit more down the road as we get into next game, because I think that'll help with that cohesion piece, to have a mixture of the youth, the veterans, the experience, and I think that'll overall be a huge difference maker.
All right, so is there any overall thoughts of the game that you had, just your overall takeaway?
Give them time. Even though I'm saying make changes, let's not be so quick to just throw this team, you know, away and assume they're not going to go far and they're not good enough. The teams the last two World Cups had a very similar roster, 2015 and 2019, and you had some very big names that were leading that roster. You want to think about having a Carly Lloyd out there. I mean, these are key pieces that you're missing. It's going to take time, but I'm so tired of the people that are ready to just say the next generation's not good enough and this, that. They're very talented. Let's give them time to work in to be the next legacy of U.S. women's soccer.
Yes, agree. How about you, Ruby?
Definitely, I agree with that. But I also, overall, in this game, I think there were lots of missed opportunities from the team. And like you said, the midfield is where it builds up from. And I saw a lot of missed opportunities there. This game could have ended really different. It could have been a much, much different game, probably 6-0, but it was only a 3-0 game. And like you said, give them time. Yeah, we have to give them time. It was the first game. First game usually is kind of like get the nerves out, because this is the first game in the World Cup, and especially being in this team, the U.S. women's national team, there's a lot of pressure from media, from the fans, from everyone, because they have to perform, because they're coming from a back-to-back winning championships for the World Cup. So I know they feel the pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And going to what you said, Renee, I think that it's always a balance. And I always, for me, I like youth development. I like watching players progress, and I like watching players add skills to their arsenal in real time. And I love watching that. And I always question whether the U.S. and women's national team does enough to make that gap seamless as far as getting the youth players up to that level, because it seems like sometimes it's just they rely too heavily on the veterans and don't give the young players enough minutes, because it's a balancing act, as you said. So that's one of my thoughts. But I think on this game itself, this is my first takeaway, was this is not the team that beat Thailand 10, 12, 13, nothing. This lineup had a lot of players that haven't played together before, and it looked like it. I think the aggression and the wantingness to finish was only showed by Sophia Smith. As far as this game is concerned, this isn't a lineup that's going to just kill you. It's going to be a lineup that's going to beat you methodically, which is fine. But that killer instinct was not there in this game. I think they could have done a lot more with what they had.
Yeah,
Do we have any individual player notes, Renee?
I think the one thing that I'd like to also see is Megan Rapinoe and how she continues to progress. And I got flack for that too, because I said, honestly, I think Megan Rapinoe, when you are progressing in the tournament, needs to be in the starting lineup. Why? She's got that killer instinct. She's not afraid to take a shot from 35 yards out. She's not afraid to get a cross in. And I think Trinity Rodman is the player, if you have to pick someone that's not on the out of that three of Morgan, Smith, and Rodman. I think Rodman coming off the bench, you start Megan Rapinoe. I think Trinity Rodman's a tremendous player and also has goal scoring ability. But I just think that next level finisher mentality that we see in Megan Rapinoe will be great in a starting role to set the tone. And now you bring in Trinity Rodman, who's going to have fresh legs, run at defenders, get some services, get some shots in. I think that'll be a greater adjustment to make. So I love, overall, Megan Rapinoe, Julie Ertz's role to change, Roosevelt to be out there more, and definitely Alana Cook in the back. And I think this is where we're going to see the turn of the tide of more chemistry, goal score, that ruthlessness in the attacking third, and definitely that cohesion and chemistry in terms of just how they're combining up the field versus it being a lot of sent balls or just turning and going and taking players on 1v1.
Agreed.
For me, I think it would be Alex Morgan. Let's not forget that Alex Morgan here, it's now considered a veteran because she's had World Cup experience, but also now she has to compete for her position because there's a lot of young talent out there. We have Alyssa Thompson, we have Smith, we have Rodman, now we have Williams into the mix. So I mean, my player note for her is like the missed penalty kick. Seems like to shake Alex Morgan a little bit. And I mean, despite her attempting to make up for it, she didn't get the opportunity to score. So I would like to see that confident Alex Morgan out there and do what she can do.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to what you said to Renee about Rapinoe. Few players in the world that can change a game like she can. She knows exactly when to put pace on the ball, when to take a foul, when to, you know, play the ball where. Few players that just put her in, she's going to change a game. And it's 99% of the time, it's sort of positive. So I would love to see her come in more, especially earlier as a substitution, if that's going to be the case. But I think Ertz, outside of Sophia Smith scoring goals, I think Ertz was very good on both sides of the ball. I think she was probably one of the best players that we had. I think she was 85% passing and 82% on long balls, 16 passes in the final third. She was involved in all the set pieces. For the people that said that maybe she's not ready, she's only played 1 or 2 minutes. Some players are just ballers and they just get up to the moment. And she's one of those players who's always up for whatever it is. So good on Julie Ertz. And obviously, as a Gotham fan, I wanted to see Mewis and Williams get into this match. Very upset that they didn't get out there. O'Hara goes onto the field, and within 2 minutes, she's getting talked to by the ref for a rough tackle. She's pure aggression.
Loved it, though.
Pure aggression. So any takeaways that you have from this match?
I think that the movement needs to be better, and I felt like it was very straight in terms of the runs that were being made. And actually, Ruby, going back to your point about Alex Morgan, that was one of my areas that I felt like she should be one of the main ones leading that. Now, sometimes she plays traditionally of just being the highest player, being on the last shoulder. But I'd love to see anytime it's her, Rodman, and Smith out there together, they are all able to play that target forward role. But you can't have three target forwards. Someone's got to be slashing across. Someone's got to be checking back and letting somebody run in behind them. Someone's got to be interchanging. And I think that dynamic movement was not really evident until we actually saw Megan Rapinoe come in, because she's not one that's going to just run at you the entire time. She'll let Crystal Dunn overlap her. She'll combine with different players. So I think the passing that everybody's wanting has to start with the movement that I don't think we really saw enough of. Roosevelt brought that. You saw her making runs. Lindsay Horan, again, picks and chooses her spot. So I think chemistry and combining doesn't just happen by just being the better team. You have to move. You have to work. And it felt at times there were too many players just kind of standing or making very straight, predictable runs. You know, and a lot of the other games we've seen, actually, Brazil, Spain, you see their forwards are running off of each other, making great runs that are unbalancing your opponent. And you need to, as you progress, especially when we're talking about winning another World Cup, winning the third straight, making history, defenders are they've got you pegged. You have to throw something different at them. So I'd love to see more interchanging and just dynamic movements as the team progresses up the field, especially in the attacking third.
Yeah. Yeah. And going to your comment about Horan, I do agree with you about her. She picks and chooses. And sometimes, like, I feel like she cannot make up her mind. She makes too many extra passes. Well, she could have taken the shot and probably even scored, in my opinion. And I do agree with you about Alex Morgan as well. And you know who could do that, where you can, like, she could run back and defend at the same time? Lynn Williams. Yes, okay. She has the stamina for that. We've seen it with Gotham, where she's done it, where she's on the other side of the box and then she comes running to defend and makes an amazing save. So I think Lynn Williams would be perfect for that. Hopefully we get to see her in the next game.
Yeah, I just want to say a shout out to the Vietnam keeper, Thon. It was obvious that the U.S. was just going to go lob balls in and rely on their athleticism. She was strong in getting a punch to almost every ball we sent in. And also saving a penalty against Alex Morgan in a World Cup is a moment that you can cherish. No one can ever take that away from you. She was one of the highest FOTMOB rated players of the match, despite giving up 3 goals. She had a fantastic match. And yeah, well done. Yeah, and getting back to, I say, confidence, this was the 32nd ranked team. The Netherlands is 9th, so I'm not sure if this was the right strategy, but I guess we're going to find out, you know, how we bounce back, but take it to the next level against Netherlands. So going into next match, what changes would you like to see going in?
Yeah, well, I think the question mark against Vietnam was if this was going to be the starting lineup, like if this lineup was the one that Vlatko Nenadsky was planning on going with moving forward. So I think the real question is this starting lineup going to be the same against Netherlands? And I imagine it won't. I think there might be a couple of changes. Again, it's still hard to me to put Alana Cook in. I think she's definitely ready. I would have loved to see her against Vietnam. So I'm interested to see their confidence in her, if they plug her into that starting role from the beginning, or if they, I don't know, have something else figured out. But I think the back line in general is okay. I think that I don't know. I like Emily Fox. I like Ertz in the back, but Crystal Dunn is just lights out. Naomi Girma is just lights out. I still feel like the back line could be a little bit stronger. If it is going to be Ertz back there, so be it. And I don't know if it's Fox or not, to be honest. Kelly O'Hara, I still love it outside back. I don't care how many years she's played in the game and how many World Cups she's been to. I still love seeing her flying up and down the flank, whether it's with Gotham or with the U.S. Women's National Team. But most importantly, if I'm making any change, the first one has to be Rose Lavelle coming into the starting lineup. And then from there, figure it out. But that's the one that, to me, is the most urgent need that has to happen.
I agree with all that. Ruby, do you have any questions?
You see in this tournament now, everyone is looking at Sophia Smith. Since before the World Cup started, everyone's looking at Sophia Smith. She's having a great season with the Portland Thorns. And, you know, she came into this game really confident. And she says that she came in and she was having fun. And we all could tell she was having fun. She scored 2 goals and assist. And now the question would be, can Sophia Smith do it again? Can she keep scoring and, you know, even get the golden boot?
Sophia Smith is an interesting player. She has what every good striker in the world has, is she never saw a shot she didn't like. And in their first season, she was taking shots, whether they were 5 people in front of her, 3 people in front of her. She's just getting shots off and she's getting them on target, which is the most important thing to do. I know it sounds very simplistic, but getting shots on target is the most important thing for a striker. And the first season, it was a bit selfish of her to take so many shots and in the spots that she took them in. However, she now in her second season has got, I think she's leading the league in assists at this point. So she's rounding out her game. She's not only a lethal striker, but she's involving other players into the attack. And she's becoming an undeniable, probably one of the best strikers that we've ever seen on this national team. She's a killer. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I was a goal scorer, and I don't think enough people realize just how different the mentality is anybody can score goals, but not everybody's a goal scorer. There's a difference. And I think Sophia Smith is a true goal scorer. And so there's going to be times she takes a shot where people think she should make the pass. That's just how it goes. That's in any sport. But that's what makes her, you know, able to finish even her second goal. That was just a broken play, but without hesitation, she puts it in the back of the net. Whereas someone else might have tried to take a touch or get a better shooting angle. So I think Sophia Smith has that killer instinct. She's got the size. She's able to hold balls up. She makes good runs. And you do see, as you're talking about, Gary, the evolution of her balancing that out with also getting assists, also getting crosses, whatever it takes to help her team. But I think she's definitely one of the top players that we have to keep an eye on, and it has shown so far.
Yeah, agree. So, Ruby, do you have any stats that jump out at you from this game?
Yeah, so in this game, the U.S. had 28 total shots. They had 10 big chances and 8 big chances missed. Like I said, this game had a lot of missed chances. Again, this game could have ended differently, but great stats. What about you?
I say my stat is zero in its defense. Vietnam had 0 shots, 0 chances, 0 crosses, 0 touches inside the 18, 0.0 expected goals. Obviously, you can't lose if your opponent can't score. So only 26 passes in our half. Very well done on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's tough. But they block Alex Morgan's penalty.
Yeah, shout out to that keeper. Vietnam is going to be one of those teams that's going to put 7-8 players in the box at all times, and it's going to be tough to get through them. And Sophia's second goal went through the legs of two different people. It's what you got to do. Get it on target. There it is.
Yeah.
Over on Twitter at OverGothamPod, that's where you can follow us, fans chose Smith as the player of the match. Thanks to all the fans who voted. Renee, do you agree?
2 goals and an assist? Absolutely, in her debut, without a doubt. Julie Ertz would definitely be the backup. Or honestly, it's Tan. It's Vietnam's keeper who's really was the biggest competition for player of the match. But we don't pick from the losing team. but honestly, it is Sophia Smith. And then I do think on the defensive end, as we keep talking about Julie Ertz, all those zeros, you have to credit her, a big part of that. And just the back line in general, that we didn't see Alyssa Nair at all, even on our screen, until we passed back to her like 40 minutes into the game. So to be able to, although maybe you can say with just 3 goals, we didn't get the job done offensively, but you can say the team also got the job done by getting not only the shutout, but keeping them to 0 across any attacking chances. So Sophia Smith and the defense.
There you go.
Nair touched the ball at the 36th minute. I tweeted about it that day. I was like, 36th minute, Nair touches the ball. But yeah. I mean, I agree with the fans. I agree with Renee. Smith is the player of the match. Again, 2 goals and assist. She was just brilliant out there. What about you, Gary?
I agree. She's having fun out there. So let's get to some Gotham FC player updates. Renee, do you have any updates on Anamanu?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. She did fantastic in the game with Nigeria. I mean, they tied Canada. I watched that game in live time, actually, because it was a reasonable time of day. We saw them open up with a tie against Canada, and she was the main offensive threat. There was a lot coming down the left flank with her. We haven't seen her in a Gotham jersey as much this season as we would like. And so it was great to see her back out there. She looks good. She's moving well. She was creating corners for them and crosses and shots, and was the most dangerous player offensively for Nigeria. So I'm excited to see her bring that back to Gotham, because Gotham has had key players injured, as we've known throughout the course of the season. And it's great to see them working back in, whether it's Kristen Edmonds getting back in the Challenge Cup game or Iffy in the World Cup. So I was like, all right, Gotham, look at Iffy out there representing for the team.
She was in a deeper role than she usually is. She was playing that like Lynn Williams midfield type role, but she was really good connecting the defense to the offense. She was, and for her 60 minutes that she was out there, she was one of the better players on the pitch. And I think she's growing into the game. And I think she's got a bright future in this tournament. I think she's going to make some waves. And this is what we talked about earlier. I love seeing teams like Nigeria get a point from Canada. I love it.
I don't know why, but I love like their lime green jerseys. Yeah. I don't know why, but I like it.
I started to tweet that out because I'm like, these jerseys are fire. They look so nice. Yeah. And especially in like the sun. look, I'm all about having a flashy kit, and I loved that green, that lime green, plus the fact that they tied Canada, which to many people was an upset, yeah. But I thought they deserved every bit of that tie with how well they played.
I know. If not, just ask Tobin how she feels about Canada.
It's true.
Exactly.
So Ruby, you got an update on Farrelly?
Yes, I do have an update on Farrelly. She played, she was in the starting lineup for Ireland. Amazing. Again, we've been talking about her story in the show, and it's amazing that this is, you know, she's going to her first World Cup. She comes back after 6 years of not like playing soccer, and she gets 63 minutes into the game, and she had 28 touches into the game. She really helped her team out there. Even though they didn't win, they really, really fought till the end. The last like 20 minutes of the game, for a second, I really thought they were going to find that equalizer and get that point against Australia. But it was amazing. And I have a fun fact about Sinead here. Sinead is, she actually learned the national anthem before being called up for Ireland. And I quote here, this is what she said. "I just think it's important. When I'm out there with the girls, they are so loud and proud singing it. And I just think it's part of being on the team and showing my commitment and devotion to this."
Aww.
Yeah, it's like she's never left. She's incredible. She was one of the best players on the pitch. Obviously, her story is amazing. And the fact that she's still writing it, it's going to be incredible when she's done. And I wish her all the best. And I was really hoping for Ireland to get a point from this game. I want to keep them in there because that's a group of death. So I think they can get out of it, but they just got to get some luck.
Yeah, it was great to see her out there buzzing around. I mean, that's what we love to see her on the field doing with Gotham. Just so aggressive, making good runs, getting the tackles. And I love the fact that she's just enjoying doing it and representing Ireland.
Yeah. All right, on to Bernina. Bernina came in as a substitute in a 4-0 win over Panama. 23 touches, 4 clearances, 80% passing. Brazil has a big game coming up against France, who surprisingly drew Jamaica. That's what we're talking about. 0-0, making it really tough in that group. And that's going to be a really, really big game. I can't wait to watch that one. Let's get over to standings. We have the United States still at the top of the group with 3 points. Netherlands also with 3 points, but on goal differential, U.S. is up. Portugal and Vietnam are at 0 points. They both lost, but Vietnam had the lower goal differential, so they're on the bottom of the group. Any thoughts on where the United States stands in this group, Renee?
It's a good spot to be at the top of the standings. I know everybody said with that 3-0, they didn't do enough to maybe get those, you know, there's tiebreakers if it does come down to that. I say if you just win every game, you don't have to worry about the tiebreakers. So keeping a zero in the loss column, and that's the most important part of those standings, and you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So far they are where everyone's expecting them to be, the first spot. But then again, they have Netherlands next, which, you know, there's going to be like, That game going against Netherlands is going to be tough for them. So hopefully they can stay on the top there. So yeah, top is good.
Yeah. I think obviously it's a good spot to be in. And I think U.S. could possibly seal their fate by beating Netherlands in a big way. If they can do that, they're through. Speaking of the Netherlands, this is the biggest game of the group stage. USA comes into this one on a 10-win game streak. 4 wins in their last 4 against the Netherlands, the last one going to penalties. Netherlands is entering after an opening 1-0 win over Portugal, scoring on an early corner, and then just dictating the game from there. What are your thoughts on this matchup, Renee?
This is what we love to see. I mean, obviously Netherlands, like many teams, actually, I don't know that there's any team that doesn't have bad blood against the U.S. from getting beat in the past at some point. But this is a team that's, like I keep talking about, is hungry to knock the U.S. off. Everybody wants to be the team that can knock them off that number one spot. And Netherlands is very talented. And, you know, you look at the Portugal game, but you got to look at it through with a grain of salt, because they're going to come out completely different against the U.S. This is a championship game for them. And everybody's going to come out against the U.S. with that feeling of this being a championship game. So I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to seeing just, again, the adjustments in terms of lineup, but also how in a different type of a challenge. Okay, we had the first game challenge. We had the you're supposed to mop this team up challenge. Okay, this is a whole different type of a challenge where it's expected to be a close game. It's expected to be down the wire. This is, as we talk about, probably the game that's going to determine who wins the group. How can you handle that pressure? So I think it's going to be a close one. It's going to be a fun one. And obviously hoping U.S. wins. But I could see like a 2-0 game. I know you didn't ask for my prediction, but I could see like a 2-0 with like a late goal as Netherlands is trying to tie things up, that in a counterattack or something, U.S. scores, goes up 2-0 to win the game. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you. This is what everyone wants to see, the U.S. play against a strong team. And let's not forget that in 2019, this was the final. It was U.S. and Netherlands. And I mean, your predictions for the next game is 2-0. In the 2019 final, it was 2-0. It was Rapinoe who scored and then Lavelle. Let's see if history repeats itself.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue the same thing you've been talking about, Renee, the entire episode, is that midfield. Netherlands plays really narrow. They play right inside the half spaces, 68 yards from the end lines. They're very packed in the middle of the field. So this is going to rely on a very tough midfield matchup. I hope that you get Lavelle back on there and we stack the midfield, because it's going to be a tough game if we come up with the same midfield we had last game. But hopefully we can get Mewis and Lavelle and other experienced midfielders on this field. So what do we manifest in this week?
Victory.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Keep it simple. Just a win.
Doesn't have to be pretty. I'm all for a nice grinded out win. Those build team chemistry and everything just as much as more in my opinion, than like the easy win. So just a nice gritty team victory is my goal.
I just want minutes for Williams. That's all I want.
It's happening.
So any random thoughts or anything before we go? Want to plug anything that you do, Renee? You do a million things.
Well, for me personally, for anybody that's interested, you can check out, I am on all social media, all the main social media, not these new apps that are coming out. The main ones, I'm on.
I cannot keep up.
I have social media. Yeah, my social media limit and capacity is reached. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, my website, ReneePWashington.com. Everything's at ReneePWashington except Twitter, which did not fit my full name. So it's Renee P. Wash. But I've been talking all things soccer and just keeping up with all the excitement. It's been fun to see whether it's Messi coming into the MLS or the Challenge Cup games getting started, and how teams are looking phenomenal, by the way, in the Challenge Cup games, including Gotham with a nice win. And then also I'll be on more MSG networks and NWSL games moving forward. So I'm excited to continue to not only watch, but be able to cover and be a part of the excitement.
Yes. And go Lehigh.
Ah, yes. Yes. I didn't realize we had that connection.
Yeah. Where I work, it's like my property ends and then Lehigh University begins. Wow. So I'm like right there.
Yep. I coached there, I lived in Whitehall.
Yeah. 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 I'm in Allentown.
Small world.
Very good. Any random thoughts, Ruby?
None for me.
Yeah. Just want to say, everyone out there, balance your schedules, relax, watch the replays if you have to watch the replays, and shout out to Telemundo. They've been doing a great job covering these games so far, and very good, because, you know, it's good to have that on Peacock, where it's like $6 a month, and, you know, it makes it more accessible to people from different backgrounds and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about that as well. Mm-hmm. But all right, fans, this is the end of our show. We will be back on the weekend of the 29th to cover the U.S. Women's National Team versus the Netherlands with our guest, former Gotham FC midfielder Nicole Baxter. Super excited. Are you ready for this next matchup against the Netherlands, Renee?
Yes, and I love that you have my former teammate on here, too, Nicole Baxter.
Yes.
I am hyped up for this game, though. Looking forward to it. And if you can't watch live, DVR, or as you mentioned, other methods, whether it's Peacock or watching it back, that is your friend. But thank you guys so much for having me, and go USA.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. World Cup and random weekday Challenge Cup matches are going to make this a fun month. Stick with us, people.